I invite you to remain standing for this gospel reading from Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." Jesus said to them, "When you pray, say this, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.'" This is the word of God for the people of God, for which we say, thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. And let us pray. Holy Spirit, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock, our redeemer, and indeed the one who teaches us to pray, to listen, to speak. Amen. I am curious how many of you keep a prayer journal. If you would just raise your hand, if you are intentional with a prayer journal. I know there were a few at our 9 o'clock service. I see a few hands at this service. Thank you. Just a question. No, there's no right or wrong answer to that question. If you had said no, you still have to stay for the rest of the sermon. But I was struck by that has been a part of the spiritual discipline of prayer that I have never been consistent with. I confessed at the 9 o'clock service that I've tried several different disciplines with prayer, and I think the only thing I'm consistent with is being inconsistent. I haven't found that one particular discipline. I know there are some, and we have members in our church who have that particular discipline of prayer, and I appreciate it so much that they have been consistent for decades within a certain type of a prayer regimen and how they have been intentional in their relationship with God. I have not shared that same journey. And so over the summer, I read Mark Batterson's book, The Prayer Circle. And The Circle Maker, and a wonderful book on prayer. Mark is a pastor of National Community Church in Washington, D.C. It's a multi-site church around Washington, D.C. And I found his book on prayer at least meeting me at the right time. There's sometimes you read a book and it's just not the right time for what the author is saying to really connect with you. His book met me exactly where I needed, it needed to meet me as I began to read his book. And he was challenging in a very helpful way for me around prayer and around how to pray and thinking about what is the power of prayer within our lives. And his book continues to kind of encourage me. And one of his recommendations was a prayer journal. And so back during the summertime, I got a prayer journal and began to write down different prayers that I had been holding for members in our church, for our very congregation, some of the events that were happening within our church, Vacation Bible School, Summerfest, the district conference, the Reach Network that's coming up here in another week or so, and then our own workshops that we're having with Reverend Dr. Jim Harnish on November 2nd, and then as he preaches on November 3rd. And writing those down, and one of the things that Mark recommends about keeping a prayer journal or keeping a list of your prayers is the power of being able to go back and review and to see where God answered those prayers. Or maybe God answered those prayers not in quite the way we anticipated it, but an answer came. And so have the power of being able to look back and say, this is what prayer brought. This is what that intentional time with God was able to bring a direction or a guidance in my life that I had not had before. In the book, The Companion Reader for a Disciple's Path, Jim Harnish writes this. He says, "In Scripture, the primary purpose of prayer is to enable us to live in an intimate relationship with God so that we become the agents of God's saving purpose in this world." What I appreciated about that quote and why Batterson's book has been informative for me is that it places prayer within an action. Sometimes when we think about, well, let's stop and pray. You know, we tried everything else, let's pray. We've heard that before too. It's like, I tried every other thing I could do. Now it's maybe a good time to pray. But what what Harnish is saying, what Jim is encouraging us, and I believe Batterson is equally doing so in his book, is recognizing that prayer is actually part of the active response of living out God's will. Prayer is not separate from it. Prayer is not just the words of it. Prayer actually begins to help us align ourselves with God's will as we live out these very prayers. Prayers allows us to become a little bit more in tune with how God is at work in our lives, helping us not only to speak to God, but the other really key component, and Wesley was a strong believer in this, was having time to listen. He called it the scripture meditation. You pray through the scriptures, listening for God's voice, listening for God's wisdom. That as much as we talk as we pray, it's important to have those times of silence that we may listen and provide an opportunity to hear God's voice, to hear God speak. There was a Christian leader 30 plus years ago, I remember listening to the radio in Ann Arbor at the time, who talked about that if, he was a pastor, that if a couple sat down in his office and they began to tell him that, you know, they've had no conversation with each other for weeks and for months, you might think there's a problem in that relationship, right? Or at least the wife knows there's a problem at that point. But he says, what happens when we do that with God, when we cease to be in any communication with God for weeks or months? Do we recognize the same challenge? That somehow we have sort of placed ourselves maybe out of connection a little bit, as it would be, to where we could be in our relationship with God. Wesley was methodical. That's why you get the term Methodist. It's part of our heritage. But Wesley was methodical. And so Wesley believed in an ordered life of prayer. And so he had prayer during specific times of the day, part of his Anglican upbringing, the Book of Common Prayer, which has prayers for five times during the day, as a way to engage in an active relationship with God, to be in communication. And Wesley believed in the power of that prayer. He recognized that in prayer, we do have that opportunity to be open to God's leaning. And one piece that Batterson mentioned in his book that aligned well with Wesley that I wanted to share with you this morning is he talked about praying scripture. That looking for those particular scriptures and using the circle maker language, you draw your circle around that verse, and that verse becomes your prayer. And one that he used, Batterson was using for his children, became one that was like an aha moment. And I've adapted, at least in my prayers for our son Ryan. In Luke 2:52, Luke writes that Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with people. And for Mark Batterson, that became the prayer for his children. Each night, he would pray for them that they would grow in wisdom and stature, that they would grow in favor with God and with people. And I've taken that same prayer for my son as part of my daily prayers for Ryan, is praying that verse, remembering that verse, drawing a circle around it as it were, and claiming the promise of that verse, that Ryan would grow in wisdom and stature, that he would grow in favor with God and with people. Recognizing the power of those very words. Another verse that I'm assuming probably several of you may have already marked this one in your scripture that is one for me for prayer is Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God which passes all human understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That's part of my, as I explain to people, in case of emergency, break glass. That's the verse that I'm reaching for in my life. That's a verse that I have prayed numerous times over my life and will continue to pray for the power of trusting in God's presence. We actually did in our Psalter reading another verse that I have used in my life as a prayer. It's the 23rd Psalm. We hear that scripture. We may know that scripture in the King James Version and other translations. But that, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Or the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything that I need. He leads me down right paths. He leads me beside the still water. He restores my soul. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in God's house forever. That's a prayer. It's a promise, but it's a prayer. It's a promise we read most often during a funeral or a memorial service. It's a promise that we can cling to at any moment in our lives. It's a prayer and a promise that we used actually to close some of our evenings when Ryan was a youngster, when he was a baby. Sarah would put music to those words and had a version that she would sing to him. The 23rd Psalm was how we closed each day, remembering those words. Maybe it's why it's so clear in my head. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. Prayer is significant because it shapes us. It guides us in our actions. It guides us in how we live out this journey of being the brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ. And one of the really powerful things about prayer is that we have the privilege of being the answer to someone else's prayer. I think about how many of you are engaged with helping with the Baldwin Center or CAS or Neighborhood House or the Assistance League. Our confirmands were down in Detroit yesterday helping with Hands for Detroit. In each situation, in each circumstance, your work is an answer to someone else's prayer. You became the answer to that person who said, who are those around me who are noticing my need? Who are those who would care for me? Are those who would provide a winter coat for my children when the winter season comes, or clothing, or the gift of the food that you bring each and every Sunday for the community food pantry? You are an answer to prayer to that worried and scared mom or dad who are not sure, who are neighbors to us, who do not know where their children will have a meal this week, or will they have enough food in their home, in their refrigerators, to provide that meal. Your gift is an answer to prayer. Isn't that amazing? Now, we don't necessarily think that way as we engage in these acts of living out our faith by caring for the people around us. But we learn in Scripture, we learn through the words of Jesus and how Jesus took time in prayer, that we become the answer to other people's prayers. When we are motivated into those circumstances and places to be there, maybe the person who is hurting and grieving, and we gather around them as a community and we say that you are not alone, you will not walk this path by yourselves. Your church family, this community will walk with you. You are becoming an answer to prayer. You are aligning yourself to being a servant of God, to being a disciple of Jesus Christ. When we pray, Lord, use us. Use us as you would have us. Use us for that good that you are seeking to unleash in the world. In those moments, your prayer is aligning with someone else's prayer of need. And God is saying, I'm connecting the two of you together. They have this need that they have been lifting to me. You are that answer. This church has been and continues to be that answer to prayer. And that is holy, sacred work. It changes our hearts and our minds. It aligns us into God's will for us and for our lives. When we pray, we are giving up our illusion of independence. We are recognizing that we need God. That we need Jesus' presence in our life. We need the presence of the Holy Spirit at work within us, guiding us, encouraging us, leading us, challenging us, comforting us. We are acknowledging that we are not the center of the universe, but we know the one who is. As we pray, we place our very lives and the lives of our loved ones and whatever requests we are lifting into these hands of God. And as Jesus says, once you're in his hands, you will not be snatched away. You always have a home in the presence of Jesus. Prayer is that moment and that statement of faith within our lives as we pray individually or as we pray corporately, where we say, God, I am yours. I need you. Help me. but also help me to make a difference. Help me to be that answer to prayer to those around me. Help me to be a sign of the unfolding of your kingdom in this community, in this place and time. Help me to be a witness for you. So I encourage you. I encourage you to be in prayer. I encourage you to be intentional, to find that discipline that will help you engage in daily reflection, in prayer and in using Scripture, taking a few verses of Scripture each day and allow those Scriptures to become your prayer, asking God to give you wisdom, asking God to give you guidance, but to be intentional. Ask God, what would you have me do? How would you have me serve? Who may I help? But also in your prayers to give thanks to those who have been around you and have been the ones who've helped you, the ones who have walked alongside you, the ones who've been there for you, maybe through the valley of the shadow of death, or maybe it was in the midst of those mountaintop experiences. But I encourage you to pray. Pray for this church. Pray for the ministry that we are engaged in. Pray for our children, for our youth. Pray for our adults. Pray for those who are homebound and unable to gather with us in worship in a consistent way. Pray for those who are wrestling with the great issues of their life and faith. For those who are uncertain. Pray for those who are even now preparing to go to Redbird to be the answer to the prayers of families in Beverly, Kentucky. Let us pray. And one of the prayers that we'll be praying in just a moment will be our great thanksgiving. Because those words of institution, that is a prayer. It is a prayer of thanksgiving to our Lord Jesus Christ, who sacrificed everything for us, who promised in his death and resurrection a new covenant, a promise of life now and life always for everyone, a life that we experience as we worship, but a life that we experience as we live out our prayers, as we care for those around us. Gracious God, prepare our hearts and minds. Guide us, lead us, inspire us into times of prayer. Lord, if there is a barrier or a boundary that's making it difficult for us to pray, we pray that you would help us, Lord, to open that door, open that window, remove that barrier so that we may engage in a prayerful relationship with you. Help us to speak our praises, our needs. Help us to lift up those, Lord, in whom we are seeking your peace, your promise. Help us to be honest with our own needs, our own brokenness. And Lord, help us as we pray to see those around us in the needs that we can respond to, how we can be the answer to those praying around us. Help us to be a people of prayer. Help us to grow in the spiritual discipline. In your holy name we pray. Amen. As we prepare for the sacrament of Holy Communion, we are reminded that as United Methodists, we practice an open table. It is Jesus who invites each and every one of you to this holy meal. It is Jesus who invites us as we are to come and to be nurtured, to be filled, to be renewed, to once again commit ourselves to the way of Jesus, to his grace and peace. You will see in your hymnal, we'll be using the liturgy that the musical responses that are found on pages 17 and 18. Our choir will lead us in those musical responses. We are preparing to receive this holy meal in the very presence of Jesus Christ. Amen.